Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
Thanks for joining me today here on Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk. This is Trumpet Radio, 101.3 KPCG, and we're online at kpcg.fm and have a live link also at thetrumpet.com. True Christians are now in training for responsible positions in God's soon coming government. Training. This is a training time for God's people. The government of God will rule the whole world at the return of Jesus Christ. But this is a time period of training right now for true Christians, and we need specific training for the job God has in mind for us. There's a lot of books that have been written about, you know, different branches of the military and some of the intense training that they do go through. And it really is quite amazing what some people will go through and the elite training that they receive for military service and other things like that. But true Christians are going through the most incredible training of all right now. And we'll look a little bit at that today. Lesson 24 of the Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course talks about this. And here's a quote. It says, "This training comes through living the Christian life, which is following the way of God's government." You know, if you read about some of the military training, there's a lot of government involved, and they have to follow some very specific rules and instructions, and it can be very difficult at times. And that lasts for a period of time. But here with God's people, with true Christians, this training is following God's government, and it's living the Christian life. And it's an ongoing training process. The quote says, "It is the training God's Spirit-begotten children must receive to administer His government in the kingdom of God." And so this is a lifetime of training, and it's not just talking about God's word. It's living it, continuing to live it, and improving in how we live it. And it's really 24/7 training. It's always ongoing for our whole lives. When God's working with us, that training process continues for our whole lives. Another quote here from Lesson 24 of the Correspondence Course. It says, "The church is God's special school for training those He has selected and called to be trained to be kings and priests in the kingdom. Only those so trained in the church will be kings and priests in the kingdom of God." So this is a training school, God's church. People can't receive training on their own. You know, it'd be like somebody training for an elite military unit by themselves. Well, they might be able to get in better shape or something, but they're not going to have the training they need, of course. And it's so much more true when it comes to spiritual training. We can't just on our own sort of try to figure it all out and run through a little program we've devised. We have to be part of this school. And it's the Church of God. And that's the school that God has designed to teach His people. It's a teacher's college, as has often been said, because we're being trained and we're being taught so that we can then teach others. So how do we become part of this school? Well, we have to be begotten by God's Spirit. Notice this in Mark 1. We'll have a few passages today relating to this. And if you have a Bible handy, it'd be great to get it out so we can look at these scriptures together. Mark 1, verses 14 and 15. It says, "Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, 'The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent you and believe the gospel.'" Repentance and belief. See, we must repent. And there is an initial repentance required, but then that's a continual process throughout life. That training process continues and repentance is required continually, where we see, okay, we need to improve or we need to change something, and we have to always be in that mindset of being able to make positive changes and do that throughout our entire life. throughout that entire training period. Acts 3 and verse 19, and notice this, again making a similar point here, Acts 3 and verse 19, it says, "Repent you therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." Repentance is stressed. Christ stressed that. It was mentioned here in Acts as well. Repentance is needed. The correspondence course says repentance and belief are the first steps. We read there, Christ said, repent and believe, right? Believe the gospel. Repentance and belief are the first steps. Belief means not only believing in Christ as personal Savior, but also believing Christ, believing what he taught about the coming kingdom of God. Repentance means a change of mind. Godly sorrow is much deeper sorrow than remorse, and godly sorrow leads to repentance. It involves not only heartfelt sorrow for past sins, but a total change of attitude, of mind, and direction, and purpose of life. See, a person's life goes a different direction. They submit to God's training program, and it's a continual training program that goes on for an entire life. The quote says, actually, repentance is more concerned with future conduct than the past. So, of course, there is, you know, sorrow over mistakes of the past, but then it's about moving forward, accepting God's training and teaching and instruction, and going forward to positively change. That's part of that training process, a continual growth and development, as we'll look at here in just a little bit. It's a wonderful program that God has established, and he works with those who are willing to submit to the training program. He's going to work with those that will listen to him, that will submit to him, that will heed his call, as Christ talks about there. In John 6 and verse 44, God the Father has to call. People can't just, you know, decide, well, I'm going to follow God, I think. They have to be called to do that, and then they've got to submit to the training program. This quote continues, again, from the correspondence course. It says, "Before we can be allowed to govern others in the world tomorrow, God must know that we will submit to his rule now. Since there will always be a chain of authority from God the Father through Jesus Christ and on down, we will always be under authority. So learning to rule begins with submission to God's rule." And it's such an important point there. We do have to learn to submit to God and his government. And that, again, takes time. It takes time to learn how to do that. Takes time to go through different experiences and situations, as we'll talk about here in a little bit. And the whole way through, submit to God's training and his instruction. And again, God trains us according to his plan, the way he has set out for us, and we've got to be ready to do that. So we must make sure that we are submitting to God's training program. We have to learn to be ruled by God, submit to it, submit to his rule, to his government, and do so happily. You know, you can think about the way Jesus Christ is always in submission to his Father. He does it happily. He loves it. And we need to have that same love for God's government. Notice Acts 2 and verse 38. Acts 2 and verse 38. Here's this training explained a little bit more. It says, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." See, we need to be baptized, and we need God's Holy Spirit. That's how God's going to work with us, is through the power of his Holy Spirit. And as the correspondence course notes, baptism is the outward symbol of our faith in Christ as our Savior, and of our turning from our past life of sin to a life of obedience to God. It's a training program. It's a lifelong training program. The rest of our lives, we strive to obey God, and that means changing and growing and being under God's government and submitting to his training. Further, it says, "Baptism and the laying on of hands of a minister of God for the receipt of the Holy Spirit also shows our recognition of and submission to the authority God has placed in the called and chosen ministers of his church. And so again, sometimes people will say, well, I'll follow God, but I don't like to listen to this particular individual. But if that person is somebody that God's working through in that way, then there's a government that we have to be following. And we have to really learn to follow that and to love that. That's part of that training program, because of course, as we've talked about, God has to know that we'll submit to government. If we don't submit to government today, well, will we submit to him later? If we're not going to submit to him today and the government that he's working through, talking about God, well, of course, we wouldn't. So he's learning about us and he's training us and he's teaching us today and he's teaching us to follow his government. The quote says, "And through the consequent begettal of God's Spirit, we become part of his government in training, his kingdom in embryo, which is his church." It's government in training. It's the kingdom in embryo. It's that special school for training. It lasts our whole lives, and it happens within God's church. Notice 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13. It says, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." So you can see that we're baptized into this one body, into the church, the body of Christ. And there's different people, you know, different backgrounds, different races, all of those things. But when they're baptized, they become part of that true church of God, that body of Christ. And they're part of that training program. And God's got wonderful training for everybody. Everyone that's willing to submit to him and be part of that program, he has a lot to teach us. We have to be receptive to it and have an attitude where we can be taught and where we can learn. You know, if we're not in an attitude of listening to instruction and following it, then it's hard for God to teach us. Notice 2 Peter 3 and verse 18. This gets more into the point about this continual process that we go through for our entire lives, this training program. 2 Peter 3 and verse 18, it says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. See, it's a continual growth that God is looking for. We need to learn more about God's word, how to apply it, how to live more like God the Father and Jesus Christ do. And we have to be repenting and changing as we go through life, and we learn different lessons and we experience different time periods of life, which usually each bring their own unique lessons and their unique training. We must continue to grow. It's a lifetime of training for God's people. And most training programs in this world, they have a limited amount of time. You know, you go to school for a while and then you graduate, or you go through some other training program for an occupation or something. And then you graduate and you move forward. And then sometimes people go back for a little more training and so forth. But for God's people, this is a continual process, a training process our whole lives. And it's a 24/7 process. And that's pretty intense. It's a great training process. You know, we can't say, well, I want to take a break from training. It doesn't work that way. We have to let God continue to teach us and train us and grow in grace and in knowledge. The Correspondence Course says, "Upon our receipt of God's free gift of the Holy Spirit, we have been begotten of God." We talked about that a few programs back, begotten of God. But we are only spiritual embryos. We're not yet born again as God beings, not yet developed for the purpose God has called us, not yet capable of ruling and teaching in his kingdom. You know, when we're first baptized, we're not immediately ready to take over, you know, rulership in that sense. It takes some time. And it says, "To become properly trained, the begotten Christian must gradually, continually develop the very character of God." It's a continual process. It's a continual process, and we have to go through this training our whole lives and develop the character of God. That's ultimately what God is working to create in us. And it's defined really as love, if you want to look at it with one word, Now, of course, that word gets misused a lot, and people might not really, you know, understand that love, but it's talking about God's character. As the Correspondence Course points out, it's a combination of knowledge, attitude, and action. And we have to know what's right and wrong. And then we've got to have the right attitude about that and the desire to actually do the right thing and do it. Even when we're maybe not as inclined to, we still have to. And that's God's character. We have to have and understand his knowledge and have the right attitude to put it into action. Let's look at Galatians 5. This talks about some of the fruits of God's Spirit, some of the character that we need. Galatians 5, we'll look at verses 22 through 26. This is the fruit that is produced in our lives through God's Spirit as we're being trained and as we submit to that training. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. That's a lot of wonderful fruits there. That's what comes through God's Spirit. Those are fruits of the Spirit. And we use God's Spirit and we are trained our whole lives and we develop more of this character of God. Verse 24 says, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. So it's walking in a new way of life. It's not just walking according to the way the world does. It's walking according to God's word. And verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. It's a continual walk, continual training. In verse 26, finally, it says, let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. See, as we go through this training process, we're not competing against other people. We're striving to develop the character of God, and God's working with everyone that he's training. And that training is going on within the church of God. And you can see how God has a perfect training plan. And we need to be submitting to that and letting God train us for that future that he has in mind for us. And the church is God's special school for training his people. If you'd like to learn more about this subject, you can sign up for the Correspondence Course. We also have a wonderful book, The True History of God's True Church, that talks about God's people throughout the years and how God's been working with and training them. There's a lot of wonderful history there. It's a great book. It's free at thetrumpet.com. That's all the time we have for this edition of Live by Every Word. Thank you for spending some of your time with me today. I'm Dwight Falk. Until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.